The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome all of you back. Second half of the show is live. We'll head to Knoxville in a couple of minutes. Talk to John Adams, the longtime sports columnist there. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Steve is in Nashville. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Paul. I'll make this short in 1 minute. Many-time listener, first-time caller. I just want to tell you, I want to apologize to the city of Nashville. I didn't go to Vanderbilt, but I am a native. For an idiot calling you and saying anybody associated with Vanderbilt would be approaching a deal with the ACC. The SEC is the only league that can afford to have Vanderbilt. I mean, truthfully, and Vanderbilt has some things to offer, certainly, but what an idiot. And Lord knows, if there's any day you deserve to go home and have an adult beverage, this is it. These guys also better get used to the fact these longtime fans, Kentucky and the longtime older coach fans, this is a new world. Winning today is so much harder, much less once. My God, twice, three times. Look at that. Look at Mike K and those guys and the other coaches. How many times did they win recently? There's so much talent and there's so much great coaching. There's so much influence by the AAU, which wasn't there before. Anyway, thanks for holding in and having some patience while you endear the idiots of the world. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Steve. And Steve mentioned that I deserved an adult beverage after the show, Randy.
Yes, we do.
I will confess, I was brought up to never tell a lie. I had one during the last break. Mark is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Mark.
Paul, I want to say, number one, I'm a big fan of yours. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
I want to apologize for everybody from the state of Tennessee for Foghorn. Nobody else could have a nickname like that except from Tennessee. And he was classless, and I apologize for his comments. I wanted to tell you real quickly that you may know my grandfather's name. He coached and played under General Neyland. His name was Farmer Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
And my father played on the national championship team in 1951, so I am strictly orange and white all the way. And one question I wanted to ask you is, do you think that our present coach, Josh Heupel, has the ability to at least get us back up into the upper echelon of the Eastern Division, if not farther?
Mark, the answer to the last part of it is yes, I do. I think he's incredibly smart. I've rarely seen a guy who has a better command of offensive play calling and philosophy than Heupel. He really is something to watch during a game. He just didn't have the talent. I'm particularly curious if I could ask you a question, having met the general, obviously, but hearing about him and knowing people when I was a student who did work for him. What type of stories or any one particular story did you hear from your
grandfather?
Yes.
Well, my grandfather was hired from Vanderbilt because Tennessee could never beat Vanderbilt. Neyland brought him over to be his defensive line coach. And my grandfather actually recruited Johnny Majors and Doug Atkins. And the one story I remember about Johnny Majors was my grandfather said, "You got to look at this kid." So they brought him in, and he says, "Well, how much does that kid weigh?" And my grandfather lied and said, "He's 165. And Coach Neyland said, "If he's 145, I'll kiss your rear end."
That's fine.
And not to mention that, but if he doesn't pan out, you're fired. So that's the legacy
like
I've lived with, and I've I've been proud of that all my life, and I still have my, I still wear my father's. He's passed away, but I wear my my father's national championship ring with pride, and I just wanted to share that with you, and also, like I said, apologize for one of the nimwads that sometimes calls in from this state, but hopefully the majority that call in from this state do have something halfway halfway comprehensible to speak.
Thank you very much, Mark, and I'm especially grateful to have heard about your dad and grandfather. Thank you very much. Vernon is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Vernon.
Hello. I want to talk about what you've been talking a lot about, and that's our great coach of Kentucky. I've been a supporter of Calipari for years and years. There's been a few ups and downs. I wouldn't trade him for any other coach, even Coach K, as far as having him for a coach. He's done good for Kentucky, and I've enjoyed many of victories in Rupp Arena and also the old place. And what are your comments other than criticizing him?
Well, I'm glad to hear your loyalty to Cal. I think Cal, the coach, Cal, the man, is an exemplary figure, and I have great admiration for him. It doesn't mean you can't question some of his moves and look at the record, and the record is good for any program other than maybe Duke and North Carolina. But is it good enough at Kentucky if it continues like this over a period of time? Thank you very, very much for the call. Cheerleader is up next. Cheerleader did not show up for the cheer. Let's talk to Big Dave, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Big Dave.
Paul, ain't it a great day to be alive?
Yes, it is.
If I were you, you was talking about having an adult beverage during the break, I'd just prop up a quart jar on the countertop right now if I were you after the day that you've had. But anyway.
I have done that, and I've already texted Uber. They're picking me up at 7:01.
Yeah. I'm thinking about hooking an IV up to a quart jar. But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit. I know you've been bombarded by, you know, the Kentucky calls, and I heard the last gentleman there with his opinion. And, you know, the thing about it is, I'm not one of these people that is ready to jump off the bridge, but I understand Cal has been a great ambassador for the school, and, you know, it's not everybody that can run this program, but my issues with Cal is very tangible. I mean, things that are very black and white that I have the problem with. I mean, it's you know, it's not the result. It's what brings us to the results or the lack of the ones that we've got that concerns me. And no half-court offense. He made the comment that the zone defense confused them. I mean, how can that possibly happen? Inbounds plays, we run the same offside corner play every time, nothing toward the basket. Our defense is so lackadaisical. He leaves timeouts on the table. Bryce Hopkins saved the day against LSU. He came off the bench and had like 15 points, 9 or 10 rebounds in a short period of time, played great. The guy hasn't played 5 minutes since. His substitution patterns just don't make any sense. It's those type of things that really that has people like me concerned. It's not, I don't expect us to win the championship. 3 years, but if you look at the NBA level of talent that has come through this program since Cal got here in 2009 versus the results, and you're right, I mean, the results for this program would be great at probably anywhere except here, you know, UNC, Duke, maybe Kansas, a couple others, but it's the most tangible things that concern me. And here's my question for you, I'm going to hang up and listen. He's been coaching all these years. You want to tell me, what's he going to change now? Is he going to institute a new offense? The dribble drive is a fallacy. It always has been. You have to have someone that can beat the man off the dribble. We've not had that in a while. If not for Oscar Tshiebwe, this year would have been a complete debacle. Have a great rest
Thank
of your day,
Dave,
and I'm going to do it.
And I know coaches adjust, and he has adjusted a little bit in terms of his philosophy, but usually coaches who are extremely successful don't tinker very much. In football, you have to adjust to, as Saban has and others, to the varying waves of change. But there's, as basketball has evolved, Cal has not changed very much. We will take a break. Speaking about change, there is no change in the air in Knoxville. There is just absolute disappointment the way the Tennessee season ended Saturday night. John Adams has seen and written about that quite often, and he'll join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. Rick Barnes is unquestionably one of the best basketball coaches in the country, and that's evidenced by the SEC tournament championship 8 days ago. We all remember the number one ranking and the number one seed 3 years ago. However, there have been some ugly stats offered since the exit on Saturday night, one in which, including his time at Texas since 2008, only one time has Rick Barnes gotten out of the first weekend. And that is something that people, his critics, and they're not many, often say about him. John Adams is the sports columnist in Knoxville, and we always look forward to his conversations both about Tennessee basketball and football. John, it's been too long. We're glad to hear all is well. Good afternoon.
Well, Paul, I can't call you and ask you to be, ask if I can be on the show. You have to call me. So,
well, you are correct.
Too long, if it's too long, it's on you.
It is on me, and we won't. We thought we would be talking to you a lot during March about basketball. We may be changing that to football, but let's get to the basketball story first. And I know you've written about it. It's hard to look past it. But your thoughts on yet another premature exit by the Vols under Rick Barnes?
Yeah, Paul, well, you alluded to the stats. It's really perplexing when you think about it that a coach this successful, I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, nobody doubts that. He's a great program builder. He's done that wherever he's been, Providence, Texas, now Tennessee, anywhere, and other places too. I mean, the guy has a tremendous record, so there's no disputing that. And I think if Tennessee went out tomorrow and tried to hire a basketball coach, there would be no way it would hire somebody as accomplished as Rick Barnes. So that's not an issue. But there's something wrong here. Why his postseason performances vary so greatly from the regular season? And I just think he really needs to do a little personal inventory and reevaluate and think, why are my teams failing so in the postseason and performing so great in the regular season and in the SEC tournament? I mean, Tennessee really looked like I thought this team could go to the Final Four, and that's not just based on my proximity to it. I thought it was that good. And when you win the SEC tournament and you beat a team as hot as Texas A&M, you beat a team as talented as Kentucky, I mean, that was confirmation. And so I was stunned the way it played against Michigan. I didn't think it played that badly, but down the stretch, Michigan was just better. So why do his teams do so well in the regular season and poorly in the postseason? It has to be more than happenstance. I know the NCAA tournament is totally unpredictable. A three-pointer goes awry or it goes right through the net and one team wins, one team loses. But I think there has to be something beyond that.
Yeah, John, since Thursday night, a lot of Kentucky fans have been saying the same thing. But in fairness to John Calipari, he does have that coveted national championship and, what, four Final Fours at least and a number of Elite Eights. And that's something that Tennessee just can't quite get past it. You know, I know Bruce Pearl, I think, got to one Elite Eight during his tenure, but the month of March, even to some of the greatest Tennessee teams in history, has been an absolute disaster.
I know it's, Paul. You know that Tennessee has a large following, a large fan base, particularly for the SEC and basketball. I mean, they're great fans here. And to have that kind of tradition and fan interest and that big of an arena, to never have made the Final Four and only won Elite Eight, I mean, that's puzzling in itself. So I know there are a lot of fans disappointed, but a lot of other fans still look at it, well, we got a really good coach. And so it's just kind of an intriguing situation the way it is right now. But I will say that when you looked at the SEC this year, Paul, I watched a lot of SEC basketball. I thought this was a great year for the SEC. I thought Arkansas, Kentucky, Auburn, and Tennessee could all make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I mean, watching them all season long. And I also thought Alabama on a given night could beat anybody. It proved that early season, albeit in beating Gonzaga, most talented team in the country. So all of these teams, except Arkansas, are gone now. And one, if there's any common theme, I thought it was a lot of defense and not quite enough offense. And I just wonder if this league has become so defensive-minded that it's lacking in offense. And then when it gets into this tournament and maybe some teams that it's never faced before that are more more effective offensively do fare better. I mean, that's no great analysis. But all of those teams were great defensively, and I didn't think they were great defensively in this tournament.
With John Adams of Knoxville. And John, on that subject, it was just a week ago at about this moment, Seth Greenberg, who's coached many places, including 11 years in the ACC, just flat out said the SEC has leapfrogged, his words, the ACC in basketball. And now you know, there's a lot of criticism going around. Bruce Pearl said that the league, you know, very well was going to get crushed. And we're having this conversation, you know, civilly, but still, this is how you make your reputation. And I know that's for a lot of non-basketball fans who just pick up the sport in March, they may be struggling with this conversation, but that's the reality.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Yeah, and as I said, I watched a lot of SEC basketball, and I felt pretty good about all those teams going into the tournament. I certainly never could have conceived of Kentucky losing to St. Peter's.
No.
And so that many teams have fallen by the wayside. And there were times during the course of the season, I thought when Kentucky beat Tennessee by 28 points in Lexington and then beat Kansas, yeah, of all teams, by 18 points in Allen Fieldhouse, that Kentucky was maybe the best team in the country. And I thought the same of Auburn in, I don't know, early to mid-January. I said, this might be the best team in the country. It could win the national championship, and couldn't handle Miami at all in the second round.
John Pearl said something to yesterday or the day before, I guess yesterday, that he you hear it from football coaches, but he said, you know, maybe these teams just beat up each other so much in the regular season. I struggle with his comment. You know, some teams, I mean, he's a running team. Maybe you run yourself to death. I don't know, but is that do you subscribe to anything he said in that regard?
Not really. I mean, I respect his basketball knowledge, but on that one, I don't know if there's any basis to that. I remember years ago, I picked a UConn in my bracket to win the national championship. And UConn had just come out of the Big East. I remember when the Big East was at right. the top of its game, that league was, and won the Big East. And all the analysts that know a lot more about college basketball than I do were saying, well, they wore themselves out. By winning the Big East, they're done now. And they won the national championship. And that's why I picked them, because I figured maybe if that many people thought they couldn't do it, maybe they can. But I don't really buy that. You can look at it the other way, and I looked at it from Tennessee's perspective, Paul, and here's a team. What a confidence boost to win three straight games in that SEC tournament, as good as everybody agreed the SEC was all year. That's got to be a tremendous confidence builder. So I looked at it just the opposite. I didn't see think of it as, oh, this is a tired team, and it certainly didn't look tired in the first round against an outman Longwood team.
No, they were great.
Yeah, and Tennessee has good depth. It has good size. It doesn't have a prominent post game, but Rick Barnes has done a really nice job of rotating four guys through there, and they could beat Kentucky with maybe the best post player in the country, and they could beat Auburn with maybe the best post tandem in the country. So I just looked at it and thought, man, this team is ready to roll in the NCAA tournament. And I didn't think of it. So I don't really buy that. I mean, I just think these teams had some momentum, and for whatever reason, they faltered in the tournament.
Before you go, John Adams with us from Knoxville, let's talk about Tennessee football. There is a lot of enthusiasm there. As Josh Heupel opens up spring, what are your expectations, not so much for spring, but for the season?
Paul, I've really been impressed with Josh Heupel as an offensive coach especially. I remember seeing him elsewhere at UCF, and he did so well as a head coach in 3 years there offensively. Great high-scoring, yardage-producing teams. And he was good as an offense coordinator at Missouri. But, you know, coming in the SEC as a head coach, I didn't know. But I marveled at how open his wide receivers were consistently. I mean, and this is not – he didn't have the kind of receivers that Alabama has had or LSU is a couple of years ago had on his national championship team. These are, you know, pretty good receivers, but not guys that just – make you go, wow. And these guys were always open. And I just think he's a really, really good offensive tactician. And so I don't think he needs the best talent to be effective offensively. And when I look at this next coming team, he's got 8 starters back on offense, 7 back on a defense that was very vulnerable in a number of games. But I think it could be better the next go-round, and I think the offense could be better. So I think Tennessee fans really have good reason to be optimistic about the direction of the program under Josh Heupel. So, you know, enough starters coming back. In the SEC East, it's still Georgia above everybody, but the gap might have closed a little bit. And now South Carolina, I think, is going to be markedly better. I still don't know about Florida. So I think Tennessee has a really good shot at being the second-best team in the SEC East.
Ooh, we will remember that line. John, it's good to have you on. We'll talk soon. Thank you very, very much. John Adams joining us. And he saved the stinger for the end. Did you catch that? I think Tennessee has a very good chance of being the second-best team in the East behind Georgia. We are taking a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on a Monday afternoon. Have you had a good day, bad day, up day, down day? You're looking for that one moment of the program that will uplift you. It is now. Legend is next.
Woo! Black Hat, baby. East Coast, baby. What's up, Coach Fireball? What's up, brother?
Hey, just digesting the news from John Adams that Tennessee will be the biggest threat for Georgia in the SEC East.
What's he drinking?
Some Tennessee whiskey.
Tennessee whiskey, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, I got some good Tennessee friends, and it'd be good for Tennessee to get competitive again, but they're under the curse of the fat man, and it ain't going to happen anytime in the near future. No time in the near future. Hey, Paul, when you had the show started, you had that damn it's Monday look on your face, brother. You have a rough weekend?
Just a rough day.
Foghorn, what's up with that dude, Paul?
Man.
That dude's crazy, ain't it?
Well, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, Foghorn did not exactly calm me down. But, yeah, you're right. I did have that. Why do I have to be here today? It's 72 degrees outside.
Really? Yeah, that damn is Monday look on your face. Well, I come to cheer you up, brother. I come to cheer you up. Hey, you had a caller earlier that had a couple dogs barking in the background. You remember that?
Oh, I do, yes. The two mutts.
Yeah, yeah, when you asked them what their names was, the first thing that came to my mind was Red Dog and Daryl.
Hey, the day
woof,
is getting better.
Woof woof. Woof, 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 woof. Look at the bracket, Red Dog. Notre Dame said the legend would restore the order of power. That's right. Notre Dame said this. And you, brother, are going down today. I'm headed for a confrontation with the drunk cop, Larry, and the Elite Eight, baby. I love it. I'm chasing a ring. I'm chasing a ring, Red Dog and Daryl. Woof, 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 woof. Ah. It was a bad weekend for basketball schools, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
You know, ever since I went to Vegas and bet that grand on Auburn, they went straight downhill, man. I had them at 8-1. If I'd have waited, I could have got them at 40-1, but they went straight downhill. Was it worth it? Hell yeah. The C. Bruce Pearl. Well, the good news is Auburn fans are going to be a team barbecue next week, so cheer up. And football season is on the way. And you got a calzone as a quarterback. Life couldn't get no better, baby. Woo! Limousine driving. Woo! Hey, Paul, I just went down to the Bryan Museum last week and seen all them rings and all them trophies, baby. You know, I got a ring for every championship we got. And every now and then, I'll put them all on my fingers and stand in front of my life-size picture of Nick Saban and just start singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Stand up, Alabama Nation. We still king, baby. And hey, Paul, before I get off, I was just reading it again in page 54 of Psycho Magazine. And there's a quote from Mr. T about Jim in there. Damn, that fool's crazy. Legend out.
Oh, man. Legend is on the roll. Is on a roll right now. What did he say? Was it Psycho Magazine or Psycho? Page 54 of Psycho Magazine. Wow. Justin is in Arkansas. Hello, Justin.
Hey, when I think of everybody from Alabama, I think of the guy that was just called in right before me, just FYI. Wanted to talk a little bit about Razorback basketball with you, and I wanted to give my condolences to all the Auburn, Kentucky, and how many other Blue Bloods that lost this weekend, and let you know that the Razorback Nation is carrying the SEC torch in the Sweet 16 for the second straight year. With that being said, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on what Eric Musselman is doing here at Arkansas. I grew up in the early 90s Nolan Richardson and company, that's what got me into to basketball, and that's what keeps me going every single time during basketball season. We've had some struggles, to say the least, but this weekend coming up, we've got a giant task against Gonzaga. But like I said, if Alabama can beat them, I think we can beat them too. So anyway, just wanted to get your thoughts and let everybody know in Razorback Nation, it's Woo Pig Suey. Go Hogs. Beat the Dogs.
Thank you very, very much. By the way, Alabama made the Sweet 16 last year as well. But who's counting? We are heading to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back on a Monday afternoon, and Dan is calling next. Good afternoon, Dan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul, thanks a lot for taking my phone call. Actually, around this neighborhood, they call me Wolverine Dan. But let me tell you what. What's with the last caller? This guy, he's happy that he lost to a play-in team. My Michigan Wolverines are a 17-14 team going to the tournament. And look, they're hot. They're playing great. But he sounds like he's won the national championship. But you lost to a play-in team, my friend. You know, it's all about Bama, which is a Bama station. I get it. But my God, dude, you think the sun sets on Alabama. It don't. Okay, there's other college teams out there. And you didn't prove it, my friend. You lost to the play-in team. And my Wolverines have set a record in the Big Ten, 5 consecutive straight Sweet 16s, Paul.
Thank you, Dan. His Wolverines. I think, wasn't it Tennessee that lost to that play-in team? Alabama lost to another play-in team, I think. They lost to Notre Dame. Wow. Joe, are you upset about this basketball?
I'm not upset about it, Paul, but let me start with right here. Hey, go on right way, red puppy. Your dang dog's got fleas, and legend goes marching on. Roll Tide, roll, Paul. I ain't upset. The Barners got beat. I mean, I'm not upset about. I'm not. I do hate Tennessee law, but I'm not upset. But I'm not upset about
the
Barners.
Joe, I know you're an Alabama fan, but watching Auburn lose, especially when they're a big favorite, I mean, is that one of the greatest highs you can have?
Hey, after the trash talk they did when Bama lost to Georgia, you know, but hey, you know, they deserve every bit of everything that's coming to them right now, because Auburn, the only thing they got over Alabama is some other team. So yeah, they may have beat us in basketball this year, but we beat their butt in football. It may have been close, but when it came down to man versus man,
went to four
Alabama
overtimes, Joe.
I missed that, Paul.
I said it went to four overtimes.
Well, I mean, that's – hey, make them suffer longer, Paul. Make them suffer longer.
True.
But, you know, we didn't have to worry about overtime with a real team. I mean, a scrub team, I mean, something like that can slip up on you, because at that time we played that right there. I mean, we were overlooking the Barners to, you know, to Georgia. You know that, because we wanted Georgia bad, because they had that number one spot. And I think we were kind of just overlooking Auburn. And, you know, we didn't play our best game. I mean, we still won the game. But, I mean, but But Red Dog, go away and lick your nails, boy. You just got your butt spanked by legend. And I'm not going to say nothing much about Augie and Jim except for this right here, Paul. When Augie's so ugly, when he was born, Paul, they had to put tinted windows on his incubator. And laying right next to him was Jim. And they had to double tint Jim's windows. I mean, they had to double tint his. Because I heard what Jim says. He calls me ugly, but hey, where's his face at? I think he's the one that's so ugly, he can't show his face. But I'm glad Legend won. And Legend, I think he's going to win it all, Paul. You know that. I mean, everybody in the country knows Legend's going to win this thing. And, you know, so I don't even care how I stand in it. But I just want K-Dub to beat all
you have right now. Joe, you're up against who are you up against?
Charles.
Oh, Charles. Charles the Real. That's a no-low contendere.
That's, you know, I took Charles the girl for a minute, but I gave her back to him. But, you know, that's just
maybe
part of it.
Maybe you didn't need her for more than a minute.
I never met her. And, hey, that may be why we ain't heard from Charles.
You stole Donna, Charles has not returned to the scene of the crime.
Hey, I think he's shacking up with her, Paul. I think he's shacking up with her. And, you know, and that may be a good thing. They both, neither one can do no better. I don't know. You know,
About 6 weeks ago, Valentine's Day, did you ever get whatever happened to you and your lady?
Well, it worked itself out. I mean, it worked itself out. And by the way, Paul, I got a hot girl. I mean, she's pretty hot. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. But, I mean, she's mainly, you know, we're friends, but, you know, we've known each other for years. And so, you know, so she knows me better than anybody.
When you call your girlfriend hot, is that a compliment? What does that mean?
She's having hot flashes. Oh, she's good looking, Paul. Oh, okay. She's good looking.
Got it.
I mean, she's a country girl. She does country. This line dancing thing.
When you have a country girl, for those of us who don't live out in the country like you do, is that different than having a city girl?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a lot different. I'll tell you what, a country girl, you go out and she'll want to pay for the meal. You don't let her being a man, but in city girls, they just want you. They'll pick the most expensive place you can go, and the food's usually not no good. I mean, they don't have fried chicken on the plate. I mean, they want to go to these little sushi bars.
Country girls don't waste time with fine Italian wines, do they?
No. They drink beer straight out of the can, Paul. They'll sit out here to grill for you. I mean, we put the grill up. And, you know, that's just how we do it in the country. And when we have a bonfire, I'm talking about a
that's
bonfire.
That's how we roll out here in the country. Well, you be careful there. Arthur is in San Francisco.
Paul, I'm not sure if you heard, but I was first four out, and I had to go to the NIT of the caller bracket.
I did hear that.
I got knocked out first round, too.
But you have Arkansas and Gonzaga in your crib this weekend.
Man, in a Pavlovian type of way, I've heard you say San Francisco more times on the show today than I've ever heard in my years of listening. Arkansas is coming. The Must Bus is coming. We're excited to have them. I'll be there at Chase Center Thursday, and so we hope to see all the fans come. But I wanted to also talk about Todd Golden. I've been following the Don for a long, long time, and I'm not going to call it a home run hire for Florida. You know, I think Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, those are home run hires. But the Dons played really well this year. It is not easy to get a mid-major at large.
Now, is this Bill Russell school from the 50s?
I know. Even, Paul, even you aren't old enough to remember him playing Final Four, but yes, this is.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, this you know this is a school that has that history. It's an urban campus, a school in the city. And they even in the 70s, I believe, reached a number one ranking. I want to say with Bill Cartwright, but that's a little bit before my time.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Cartwright.
But the school had not made the tournament since the 90s. And this was their first time in as an at-large, and I give a lot of credit to Todd Golden. You know, I think it's really telling that officially there's no openings in the Pac-12, but I think if a school like Cal and Berkeley or a school like Stanford thought they could have got him, thought they could have afforded him, given him the resources, they would have left their current coaches.
Arthur, up against a break, but thank you for the call. We're coming right back.